Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kale Teeter, Evan Basilek, and Sujit Mello, discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic, and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please see our website at azpodcast.com. Well, welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 203, being recorded on the 10th of November, 2017. I'm Sujit, and on Skype with me, I have Kale. It's just the two of us today. Evan seemed to be tied up. He couldn't make it. And so Kale had a lot of information that he wants to share about DEF CON. So we're going to dive a little bit into that in just a minute. But Kale, let's just quickly recap what happened this week. I see a lot of action with Azure Gov. I wonder, why was that? Why did that become so important this week? Any idea?
There's a bunch of different things that were coming out about Azure Gov. If you take a look at the blogs, you know, there's this secret classification for data, so the Azure Government Secret, which I think we announced a little while back. A few months back.
Right.
And basically there's been a lot, you know, some information now starting to kind of disseminate out from that about what that actually means and why that's different, like from a cloud offering as opposed to like public cloud or even the other, you know, government type data centers that we had before.
Okay. Yeah. And then I noticed, of course, something that I'm sure you want to cover, that they have the blockchain for Azure Gov. Did we talk about this last week? I forget.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about this actually a couple of weeks back.
A couple of weeks ago, okay.
Yeah, when we talked about the secret. But yeah, we basically have a lot of templates over there for blockchain in this, in the Azure government. So.
Okay. And then the Azure Security Center now has also been moved to Azure Gov, which is nice. All the unique challenges, I'm sure, that they have over there have been accommodated in the Security Center.
Yeah, it's a good point to bring up that, like in Azure, you know, typically, I think we've mentioned this in past podcasts, but, you know, the fact that we release something new, you know, some new feature, whether it be portal based or like a service or whatnot, doesn't hit every data center instantly, typically.
Right.
And so, like, as these kind of roll out, sometimes they're customized for those specific, you know, regions or whatnot. So it's an important thing to remember.
Absolutely. And then they've even put the high-performance computing in Azure Government now. The NC series and the Badger Batch is available, and the H series as well. So all of these high-end, you know, compute-intensive VMs are now available in Azure Government, as are the virtual desktop environment, I suppose. Everyone's moving to VDI these days. And that includes the government, so that's now included in Azure Gov.
Nice.
So I know you're going to talk about DEF CON 3, so we'll skip that. But I want to talk about one thing, which is, you know, one of our, one of our big supporters in Microsoft is Rob Caron. He's a senior marketing manager for Azure. And he kind of also, you know, kind of guides us on the podcast and things like that, and just helps us keep on, you know, stay on point with some of the topics that we cover, so that we're in sync with some of the other stuff happening at Microsoft. And he himself puts out a really nice blog post every week. It's called Last Week in Azure. And so kind of, I guess, similar to what we talk about here. Right? We talk about Last Week in Azure, which we're doing right now. But he kind of gives it a little concise blog item for the last week. So every week he puts one out. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes. But this is normally this very concise, three or four topics. You know, you quickly read through it. Also has links to all the latest Azure Fridays and things like that, you know, that Hanselman puts out or other people put out. So definitely something I think everyone should just take 5 or 10 minutes to read every week. It certainly is worthwhile. And good. So that's a quick roundup. Anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, there's one other one. This managed application is GA in the marketplace. So For those who use the Azure Marketplace, which is a great way to kind of see our partners as well as our first party offerings that you can deploy in Azure with what we call single click, where you basically answer a few questions, answer some parameters, and say go, and you have a complete infrastructure spun up, whether it be single VM or a full, kind of network setup. So the idea of this managed applications that's now going GA is, we have particular classes of services in Azure, such as you can think about maybe, I'll just use an example, a network appliance. So a network appliance is produced by a vendor who basically has some unique thing. Maybe it's a web application firewall, or maybe it's some sort of security gateway. Typically, classes of applications like that are less, the customer has to kind of get in there and tweak, or even have like source code or anything available for it. It's more of a kind of sealed kind of product, almost like they're dropping a box into your Azure infrastructure to do some certain things for you. So in the past, we worked with these partners to kind of build these things and have them published out there, but ultimately a lot of these are ending up in the customer subscription, and then it becomes the customer's kind of burden to maintain them, make sure they're updated. If the partner comes along and messages them and says, "Hey, by the way, we have a new update for that product," they would have to go kind of do that. This managed application kind of turns that on its head. So you do the same thing you do today. So you could say, "Yeah, I'm interested in this product." You provision it. It's provisioned to your subscription and everything. But what it does is allows you to opt into. It's basically managed by that vendor for you then. So as you're paying for it, basically what's happening is they have the way to basically manage that application for you. So if you need to have updates, or if there's monitoring the health of it, making sure that the thing is sustaining and not having issues for you, this is what the whole idea around this managed application is.
I see. Yeah, I heard about this. It's become very popular these days. And a lot of the vendors are putting in it. There's quite a few items. There's quite a few in there already, correct? Even for day one. So, great. All right. So, well, that's a good roundup for the week. So let's dive into the topic of the day, which is DEF CON or DEF CON 3, I suppose. Does that mean it's the third time they've had it? What's the three number about?
Yeah, it's actually the fourth time because we index at zero.
Of course. How
so
silly of
basically.
me.
Yeah, so this is the fourth iteration. The first was, a little over 2 years ago in Amsterdam, and then there was one in London, DEF CON 1, and DEF CON 2 was in Shanghai, China, and this one was in Cancun, Mexico, on DEF CON 4, 3.
And then what's the general purpose of the DEF CON series?
Yeah, so DEF CON is a it's the premier Ethereum event. So if you're into Ethereum blockchains, this is the conference to attend where all the researchers. It's a very tech-heavy conference. There's a lot of R&D guys there as well as, founders and core participants of these blockchains, as well as like partners building product on top of it, including Microsoft. So are also in attendance for this event, but very tech heavy, less on the business focus, more on pure tech.
I see. Good. And but now who are the participants there? They come from all over the place. Like everyone flies in. What's the general audience?
Yeah, so basically, I don't know where what the first ones were, like what the attendance was, but I can say this one was 2.5, like maybe 2 times bigger than the last one we had in China in attendance. So we had about 2,000 people at this event, and there's like an expo floor, a typical kind of conference, and in breakout rooms and a main stage. But it usually kicks off with, and it did this time as well, with the core Ethereum founders, Vitalik, the core members of the Ethereum team at, who do, kind of own product on that. There's, it's a very decentralized organization, as you can imagine, but there still are people who are kind of driving, P2P networking and, what are we doing about storage and sharding and
So all
all
the
these
low
different
level
aspects.
stuff, basically. That's
Exactly, like product team, essentially in Microsoft speak. So they basically get up and give their, roadmap on what they're working on, where it's at, what the, and it's an open source community, so they're obviously driving some of the vision and architecture, but, everybody's contributing code. It's an open source project, so Essentially, they went through 4 days, went through core tech with the group. Then we talked about some research topics. Then we started talking about application development. We call them dApps or decentralized apps. And then we wrapped up with P2P networking, just some of the core protocol advancement there. Now, probably wondering the Azure podcast, like, what's in it for Azure? Like, what's the deal here? So,
Exactly.
these things are fascinating topics, and I could go on for probably hours, about these guys are super smart guys, working on, encryption technology for next generation, Ethereum and whatnot. But in our group, we actually had like seven individuals go from Microsoft, including Marley Gray, who spoke. As if anyone's been following Marley, his passion and one of the things he's been driving with blockchain, regardless of the whole ecosystem, is his the crypto technology or enterprise smart contracts. And so what we did this time was we had a booth and we actually had Cryptlet Fabric running there, on a screen and everything, and we could walk people through how the fabric works, what the source looks like, how you actually build these things. Marley's session, he spoke to that as well, and then he made an announcement that in 2 weeks we're going to have the fabric available for people in a test drive form. So for our listeners, what that means is the fabric, so a cryptlet itself is an off-chain, to give you a 10,000-foot view, it's a way to do off-chain compute and storage, leveraging, obviously we're leveraging Azure for that, to basically run these off-chain components that are attested to. So they're a very strong security model around this to plug into the blockchain. And so you could write these, and the initial ones are in C Sharp. So the framework and everything, we'll go ahead and release kind of tutorial articles along with that. And then you can basically write a cryptlet in C Sharp. And maybe to back up a second, you would actually have to write a smart contract as well that's going to interact with this, obviously. So you'd have your smart contract that says, hey, I'm going to call this cryptlet to do some storage or some compute for me. And then I'm going to have this code that I wrote in C Sharp that's going to do this actual cryptlet function for me.
Right.
So you could do that without much work as long as we just kind of release that framework to you. But the piece we're going to have also is this test drive to allow you to basically, have a machine for free. You don't even need an Azure account, obviously, but it's running on Azure. And you can basically to bring your cryptlet that you've created and run it on this fabric. You can think of it in that way. And then you can start to interact with it and actually see it work.
So, I mean, so how do you like the cryptlet is in the form of a DLL of some sort, or how
That's
does it?
right. Yeah, that's exactly right. So the initial one, like I said, is C Sharp, but obviously there's more to the world than just .NET and C Sharp. I mean, Sajid might argue that point, but no, so Java obviously being a big one as well as other languages. So those are in the roadmap as well to bring those to this framework as well.
Now, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say we walked through all that stuff with the participants, and Marley kind of made those announcements. But the broader scope is there's a lot of different pieces to this ecosystem, including the encryption technology that we talk about. So Microsoft Research, in case anyone didn't know, do have cryptographers. They have a lot of this technology as well that they're working on. We have, we've had the quantum. What was her name? Krista on here a few weeks ago, and that was, kind of eye-opening. But this is the kind of level we're talking about with that kind of research. But we're going to see, the dev tools continue to evolve, and we're very plugged into that ecosystem. There's been a lot of clamor for, Visual Studio extensions for blockchain and whatnot, and we're continuing to kind of build on VS Code and Visual
Yeah,
Studio to
I
make
noticed
that
VS
easier.
Code got a lot of love over there with Truffle.
Yeah, Truffle is a, and for those who might not know, Truffle's a dev framework that's very popular with the Ethereum developers. Great tool. And yeah, we work very closely with those guys. They're actually in Seattle, so it's very easy for us to work with that group.
Now, I know, we've been talking about how, blockchain as a service and all, right? So where are we at? Like, was any announcements made on that, like, in terms of just making allowing people to stand up blockchains? Are there any enhancements to that whole system?
Yeah, so there's basically a bunch of different things we've kind of worked on with blockchain as a service. We kind of talked about that in a podcast before, but we have a lot of templates up there for different protocols or different flavors of chains that you can run that all kind of function slightly differently to, provide different use cases the chain that they need. And then there's dev tooling, as we mentioned, and then even I'll call them middleware or like utility type players. Microsoft being one of them. Just along with our partners, Microsoft has three kind of big part projects that they're working on in this space beyond, obviously offering all these protocols in Azure. Is the first one being Cryptlets that I just talked about with Marley. The rebranded name is Enterprise Smart Contracts, but this off-chain compute and storage. Super powerful. We think this is kind of a game changer. And there's others in the space who are building similar technology. So it's great to kind of work together with these guys to build kind of the best product. The other one is Coco, which got a lot of press, in the past couple months. And that's really around governance, building these things to make them really more real for enterprise. So having not it's basically based around being able to control the network and how people add nodes to these networks, how to make these things go faster. Blockchain speeds need to increase, the transaction finality speed needs to increase, and this enables that. Obviously, being an open platform, we can plug the chain components into this, but that's a big thing there, as well as privacy of transactions. And then the last piece is called App Builder. So App Builder is a tool that we announced a while back, and it's something that we continue to work on to allow people to build proof of concepts much faster. So the idea is, in this world of building what we call smart contracts or this new type of code, we can basically take those things, parse them, and create metadata or an entity diagram out of it, and say, here's the entities that exist in here, here's the actions that they can take, and then we can basically build a responsive web app on top of that, and then wire it up for everybody. So instead of you having to go figure out, like, okay, now I got my smart contract written, I can deploy it to this infrastructure I have on Azure, but then I also need to like go write an app to actually use this thing. So we'll write the app like automatically for you. We'll code gen the app for you, and so you can actually see it working, and then you can actually go look at the source then and say, okay, how does this work? Oh, okay, here's how they did the transaction. Here's how they do the connection. Make it much faster for people to get started with this stuff.
No, so this is mostly for proof of concept, right? What you described.
Yeah, I think we see it as like a first step for people. It wouldn't be for somebody who's more advanced. If you were, you would probably already have the tooling and experience to kind of build these, but I think it could be extended. So basically, once we build the application, and actually it involves a lot of other services in Azure, such as like Azure Active Directory. So seeing how that intertwines with the blockchain, how you can build a role-based system in there, a role-based management system for security. All those pieces are kind of packed in there. So you can kind of pull those pieces out then, and what I see is it more being like a template to get people started, and then beyond that, you can basically either extend that thing or just build a new one based on what you learned there.
I see. And just like if you were to look in the crystal ball, how far are we, do you think, where from a day where, let's say a company could say, okay, I'm going to just click a button in Azure and, whatever, configure my Cryptlets or my smart contracts, and I'm, connected to the private Ethereum network or whatever, for that particular line of business. How far are we from that?
I think it's a little bit out there. I don't think it's far away. I think that a lot of people have been building POCs who are interested in this space. More come every day, but I think that as these things continue to get out there, I mean, we need to get more of these things in general availability before people would, kind of consider putting or should consider them putting them in production. But there's a lot of people like playing with these things. There's a lot of Obviously, a lot of developers are kind of gravitated toward to understand how these things work. But even business people, understanding the value, not maybe the technical bits of like how you actually wire this up, but from a high level, what functionality are each one of these things providing to me? I think they get it, and or they're very interested in understanding what's everybody's story here. Like, there's so many people building all these components. Like I mentioned, Microsoft being one of them. And so a lot of times we get approached with that is like, not just like, what are you doing in the blockchain space, but how is what you're doing going to help me build in my enterprise? Like, I have, here's my business problem. Tell me how, enterprise smart contracts helps me,
And I think that's a learning process, right? People are there's only a few people like yourself who really understand how to connect the dots between blockchain and the business today. So that's something that a lot of people have to get up to speed with.
Yeah, I hope that it grows fast. I don't want to be. There's many people way beyond my knowledge in blockchain, but I hope that we can continue to make more people aware of, just being aware of the technology. It's not a hammer. It's not like we okay, throw everything else out. This is the only way to build apps. That's not true. But we think it has a lot of power for, business scenarios where there's B2B and things of that nature where we need to provide this full trust in a system.
So what else was good at DEF CON that you think our listeners should know?
No, I think it drives home something that Microsoft has kind of been part of for a little while now. A long time ago, we weren't as much being an open source community. This ecosystem is driven by open source very much. And so, coming in and not providing that level of a detail or exposure back to the guys who are actually building on top of it is it would be a problem. So I think that I don't know. It's just kind of the planets, I think, have aligned at the right time that, Microsoft has been, kind of vibrant in the open source community, and we're actually, contributing back to these kind of events and these kind of, tooling and frameworks and things that are happening, and even the stuff we're building, such as like Coco, as Mark mentioned, will be open sourced in 2018. So these are, I think, those are the biggest things because the speed at which this stuff is evolving is fast. Even if you're kind of plugged into what's going on here, it changes on a daily basis, and changes because there's not a product group of, 20 or 30 people working on it. There's a product group of 10,000 people working on it or more, and you can imagine that goes very quickly, but also brings, interesting things to deal with.
Yep, absolutely. All right. So, besides the blockchain stuff, was there any? Do they talk about anything else at DEF CON? Around future technologies, or what are the other discussion items that they talk about? Like just some general purpose things, like security, or things that are common, like the lower level stuff. What do they talk about there?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, there's a lot of this technology that will bubble up in other areas of our world probably as it evolves. We're talking about blockchain now, specifically around some of this encryption technology. If you take like something, there was a lot of talk around this protocol called zk-SNARKs, which I can tell you, we can put it in the show notes what it means, but it's called zero knowledge proof. And essentially what it means is, it's if you've ever heard of something called homomorphic encryption, basically it means I can do something, so you can give me some encrypted data, and I could, like, for instance, let's just take a high-level example. There's a function or something buried inside of this encrypted data you gave me. I could basically send some input into this thing and get an output out without having to decrypt the stuff that's encrypted. So that's
So it's kind of like an HSM, but I suppose, right, in a way.
It's a way to basically, they call it zero knowledge proof because basically it allows you to act on the data without actually knowing about the data, like you're having to decrypt it. So it's kind of a stretch out there. It's something new, and this is not specific to blockchain. The zero knowledge proof is, but the idea of being able to do this type of where you don't have to encrypt the data is super interesting from a security angle. And this is something that's got a lot of. It's actually real. I mean, we have it running in Ethereum right now. There's a proof out there. You can go look at it. If you are super into math, you'll love it because it's a massive math problem to see the code for this thing that was actually written to show this proofing. But I mean, it's evolving very fast. I mean, we're talking about something that's maybe a year and a half, 2 years old from the time it saw light of day. Obviously, people were working on it before, But you know, it's relatively new and it's going pretty fast. Like we actually have an implementation already, so I think we're going to see this really quickly come out there and provide, you know, even greater security than we have in our systems today, which I think everybody would like.
Absolutely, yes. It's nice to see, you know. I mean, that was like, you know, out of the whole Bitcoin thing. Obviously, blockchain was the real jewel over there, obviously, and we're taking advantage of just like that. I'm sure there's other technologies that are going to come up, which could be of, you know, general purpose use, right? Stuff that's in this whole blockchain
For sure. And we have some show notes. We'll put some links over there. A colleague of mine, David Barella, who's in Australia actually, he took some outstanding kind of notes, and all this stuff's on the internet for free. Like it was streamed live, and then also I think it's just on YouTube, so there's a bunch of links over there.
Right.
Um,
Yeah,
so
sorry,
you
you
can
put a whole bunch of photos and of all the slides and everything. So it's nice.
Yeah, so if you're interested in any of this stuff, he kind of has the topics there, so you can pick your poison of what you want to learn about. And I would recommend people just spend a few minutes taking a look at it because it's super interesting stuff that I think everybody's going to see impact them in some way.
Awesome. Well, this is really good stuff, Kale. Thank you for sharing about DEF CON and your trip to Cancun. I'm sure it must have been nice there. So anything else you want to add before we wind up the show today?
No, I just thanks the listeners for listening, and we've had some feedback about some blockchain information, so I'm just trying to get some of that out. But let us know if this is helpful, and or if you'd like to hear about anything else or not on blockchain.
Awesome. I'm sure there's never enough about blockchain to hear about, so we'll talk about more about that in future episodes. But thank you, Kale, for all that update, and we'll see everybody next week.
Thanks.
Thanks. Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle @AzurePodcasts. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.